for great-looking t-shirts, hoodies, and sweatshirts, the TNT Shop is now open at tntradio.live. The Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks, welcome aboard. It is Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern here on the East Coast of the United States, and you know what day and time it is wherever you are listening to the Steve Malzberg Show. It's been quite a day and quite an evening here in the good old U.S. of A. We've had two sets of videos released, videos from two separate cases. The first one came earlier today, and we'll get to that second. And that was the Paul Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi's husband, who was attacked, if you recall, in October of last year with a hammer to the head in his home in San Francisco. Well, we finally have had the body cam footage released and other footage released, including the perpetrator breaking in to the home. So we'll talk about that, what that showed and what rumors it dispels. But first and foremost, the city of Memphis has released several videos of Tyre Nichols, his arrest. It's been released to the public. It's been played all over the place on every cable network you could imagine. It was released just a couple of hours ago. And of course, Nichols died 3 days after the arrest. And you have five former Memphis police officers involved in that arrest. They've been charged with murder and kidnapping by the district attorney. The 29-year-old was pulled over on January 7th by the police for reckless driving, and a confrontation occurred. This according to what the department said. The police chief said the department has been unable to find anything that substantiated the probable cause for reckless driving. The police chief saying that they looked at videos, cameras from businesses, from homes that were placed on light posts within the city, and they don't see any reckless driving. But that at this point might be pertinent to the case, but right now that's a little beside the point. So I watched all four videos that were released. CNN played them in order, whatever order they decided to play them, I guess, whichever ones came out first. They just played them one after the other with a little explanation of what each one was. And here's what I saw. I'll tell you what I saw. The first one was an officer driving up to an arrest or to a situation already in progress. The car with Tyre Nichols in it had already been pulled over, and this officer arrived on the scene, and you could hear and see two officers, one on each side of the car, the driver's side and the passenger side, shouting, you know, get out, get out, get out. I mean, really shouting. Now, I'm led to believe that by another video later on that's how they approached it. Instead of walking over and saying, hey, you know, you were driving recklessly, could I see your license? They just went over the top at the beginning. Now, keep in mind, I say this proudly and I love saying it, but just know where I'm coming from. And you could imagine where I'm coming from. Nobody's a bigger supporter of the police than me. I'm a former New York City PBA Man of the Year. Okay. And there's only one of those a year. In all of the New York City, the PBA picks one man a year, and they picked me in 2004, I believe it was, or three. I think it was three. Anyway, so that's what you see. The cop pulls up to a scene already in progress. The cop's yelling at the driver, Tyre Nichols, to get out of the car. He doesn't get all the way out. They pull him out, they put him on the ground, throw him on the ground, and they keep telling him to, you know, get all the way down, get all the way down, lay all the way down on your stomach, and you know, show us your hands, but get all the way down, and he doesn't. So they tase him in this I don't think they used any of the pepper spray in this one. I could be wrong, but That's what they do. And then he gets up and somehow he runs away. He runs away. And they chased him for a while. And I got to tell you, that video, that camera went on for some time that we saw long after Tyree Nichols was out of sight. And those cops, or at least the cop who was wearing the camera, wow, was he out of breath. I'm not mocking him. I couldn't do it. But he was out of breath for minutes and minutes. I mean, a long time. Just, you know, the whole time. I know it's a very, you know, adrenaline pumping moment and you're running and the whole thing and they're not kids. But wow. Okay. Video number two, another police officer's video. And they're looking for him. They're looking for him and they find him. And they go after him. And they get him down onto the ground. And they keep saying, you keep hearing, give me your hands. Give me your hands over and over. Give me your hands. Give me your effing hands over and over as they struggle with him. Okay. And he cries, Mom. Like he's calling his mother, which I had heard earlier in the day from Ben Crump, the attorney for the family, those were his last words. Whether or not those were his last words, I don't know. But he did repeatedly call from Mom. Anyway, video number three, another police officer camera. Same basically as the same audio as the one above that I just mentioned. Cries from mom. Give me your hands. They finally cuff him. He's on the ground. And then they drag him over and prop him up to lean back against a police car. And they leave him there. Now, the cops are then talking to each other, explaining to each other what had happened, what he did in the first place, how he struggled, all that kind of stuff. Video number four is where you really see what happened to him. It's a street pole camera, like I just mentioned. I said lamppost, street pole, whatever you want to call it. No audio in this one. You see, as they're struggling with him, they spray him. Again, I spray or tase. It's hard to tell because we don't hear. They kick him. They punch him. And one of the cops grabs, and I said, what is that? It looked like a thin stick of some kind or rod, but they said it was a baton. And he says something to the effect of, because that's what they say he said. And now I'm wondering how they know that since there was no audio. Nonetheless, I'm going to beat you with the effing baton. And again, most of this, I'm not defending it. But most of this happened before he was cuffed, before he was, you know, turned over onto his stomach fully and cuffed, from what I could see. Now, I could be wrong. I only saw it once. I didn't replay it. I didn't stop it and start it. I just watched it through and took notes. One cop said during the explanation period that I was talking about where they're talking to each other. By the way, talking to each other while Tyree Nichols is laying there or sitting there against the car and keeps kind of falling over. Nobody's paying attention to him. Nobody's giving him medical attention. Nobody's helping him. Nobody's seeing if he's dead or alive. I mean, he wasn't dead, but that's not the point. And one of them said he was going for my gun. Now, I don't know if that's true. I couldn't tell. Could have happened and I didn't see it. Or maybe it didn't happen and it was one of the officers, I don't even know who said it, that was involved from the beginning and realized he might have went too far. I don't know. And was looking to cover himself. I don't know. I don't know. So let me say this if I'm a cop. And I really haven't heard anybody say this. And I have said this for years. I've said this for decades. Decades. A, you don't run from a cop. Ever, 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 ever. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he deserved it. I'm not saying the cops didn't do horrific things to this man. Second degree murder. I'll read you the definition a little later. Could be. There are two definitions to it. It doesn't fit one where you go in. It's not premeditated, but you go into, for instance, you go into a friend's house and you have an argument. You didn't mean you didn't go in wanting to kill him, but then it escalates and you did mean to kill him eventually. I don't think they meant to kill him. But the other definition of second degree murder, and I said I'd read it to you, but I'm doing off the top of my head, is kind of your actions are callous enough and you just, you know, you leave the person, you do things to the person that there's a reasonable expectation that they could die and you don't do anything to stop it. So that would be the second degree murder charge that would fit more than certainly the one I described, the first scenario. But let me just say this, and I've heard nobody say this, and I'm not afraid to say it because I'm not defending the cops. I'm just telling you something. I don't know anything about these officers. I don't know anything about them at all, except they're all black. I'll just say this. And so is the deceased black. Was he black? I'll just say this. I have said every case, you know, doing a talk show in New York for 30 years, every case, every one of these cases, every case, 99.999% of them results when, because the person who stopped doesn't obey the police, runs from the police, disobeys the police, all the time. What would have happened if, when the cops said, get out of the car, get out of the car, get out of the car, and even if they had to pull him out of the car, get down all the way, face down, and he did it. Let's just say he did it and put his hands behind his back and they cuffed him. Because cops don't know, does the person have a weapon? I'm just saying in any situation, does the person have a weapon? You know, is he a danger to me, my fellow officers, or the community? And if you disobey, you raise suspicion on top of it. When you run away, you really raise suspicion. That's why I tell everybody who will listen. When you're pulled over by a cop and they say jump, you say how high, sir? You do whatever they tell you to do. If you say, I would even say if my hands are on the steering wheel, which is I advise, and they say, get your ID. I would say, okay, I'm taking my hands off now to get my ID. I'm reaching into my, I would every step. If they pulled me out of the car and said, get down, lay down, face down. I wouldn't stay on my back and say, what did I do? And eventually run. I'd be scared to death, but I would do it. And that's what kids should be taught. Never, ever, ever disobey a police officer. If there's a problem during the arrest, during the confrontation, you know what? You take it up later. You go to court. You file a complaint. You sue them. Whatever.
but you don't do it during the confrontation. Now, again, I'm talking in general. I'm talking as a rule. I remember one case in New York City way back. Oh, this is a big deal. This guy, he ran. The cops thought he had stolen jewelry on him or something. So he ran and he led them on a chase. They told him to stop. He ran into a grocery store and they were looking for him. They didn't know where he was. They don't know if he has a weapon. So he sprung out and the cop shot him. And guess what? If he didn't run from the cops, that situation never would have occurred. That's just one example. But anyway, so in this particular situation, we do hear the cops say, give me your hands, give me your hands, give me your hands, over and over and over and over. And he's struggling and he keeps saying, what did I do? What did I do? I'm scared. Mom, I mean, you could sympathize with him, of course. The kick when he was down on the ground, granted, not cuffed, I don't think, but down on the ground, the kick that looked like to the head, a punch that looked like Mike Tyson putting away an opponent with the knockout punch and the baton. Those things were certainly above and beyond in my view. And it did take three, four, five cops. And I'll tell you this, Don Lemon asked on CNN, he had a guest on, and I've heard this question asked 10 million times over the years. Why did it take five cops, six cops, seven cops to bring? Why do they all have to try to bring this guy down? Did they succeed? You can't go one-on-one. You can't go two-on-one. I've never seen it one-on-one or two-on-one. I mean, without firing or subdue, it's almost impossible. And we don't know. I'm not insinuating. I don't think there would be anything, but I don't think we've heard anything about any toxicology reports about the victim or anything like that. So that's where we are with that. But ladies and gentlemen, this goes way, way, way beyond that. The media, and in my view, not the parents. The parents kept saying, we don't want violence. And I don't know what's happening right now as I'm on the air. But let me just read you something that Tucker Carlson put on up on the screen on Fox tonight a little while ago, talking about how Antifa is calling for violence. He put up something. It looks like it could have been off Twitter or off some social media platform. Call to action. January 27, 2023, 8 p.m. at all NYPD facilities. This is in New York. Burn it all down. Bring rocks, heavy objects, pipes, spray paint, kerosene, lighters, umbrellas. Travel in large groups. Wear all black. Cover your face. Bring a knife or other tool to free unlawfully detained comrades. And there's a picture of a fist. There's a picture of a NYPD police department with flames around it and a circle with one line through it. And it says Antifa's, I can't even make it out, Antifa's something. Anyway, so Tucker put that up on the screen on Fox. I took a picture of it, so they got to read this to everybody. So I don't know, you know, I know there are people in the streets in Memphis. I don't know how many. I don't know if it's, hopefully it will not turn violent. But the media, in my opinion, the media is praying for it. Praying for it. Dying for it. Poor choice of words. Praying for it. Hoping for it. And like I said, the parents of Tyre Nichols said, protest, but protest peacefully. That's what our son was about. He wouldn't want violence. Don't burn our city down. Reportedly, according to Tucker, Antifa's organizing in cities all over the country. But let me play for you
Ben Crump. You know Ben Crump. Every time one of these instances happen, he represents the family. Nothing wrong with that. But there's something wrong with what he had to say and what he's been saying and what he and another attorney who is on the case for the family is also saying. That doesn't matter that these cops are black. Doesn't matter. It's systemic. Well, I'll let you hear. Here's cut number 357.
As I said, it is the institutionalized police culture. It's not just the police culture. It's the justice system. We have bias in every aspect of society. And so you don't see officers doing this to white citizens because our court system has said that they value white life more than any other life. And so we finally have to speak truth to power on these issues to say the reason why we keep seeing it happen to black and brown people is because it is the culture in this society that we can marginalize brown and black people, that we can trample on the constitutional rights of black and brown people. And that's why we have to continue to say, no, it's not equal justice for some, it's equal justice for all.
So it's about going after black and brown people in every aspect of society. It's the culture. It's way beyond this. Doesn't matter that the cops are black and the victim was black. It's still all about racism, this horrible country we live in. And this is what really disturbs me. This is the bull crap that it turns into. Okay. The bull crap. Van Jones on CNN said, yeah, the cops were black, but they still may have been driven by racism. Okay. All right. They still may have been driven by racism. Now I want you to hear our next cut. And our next cut is Don Lemon. And he is talking to, well, you know what? I got an idea. Well, I'm trying to figure out if we should do this or take a break. No, well, let's do this. He's talking to the police chief, who's also an African-American woman, C.J. Davis, on CNN earlier in the day, talking about the police, talking about the video she saw before we saw it. Here's cut 354.
I was outraged. I was, it was incomprehensible to me. It was unconscionable. And I felt that I needed to do something and do something quickly. I don't think I've witnessed anything of that nature in my entire career.
Really?
Really.
That bad?
It was that bad.
What are we going to see then?
You're going to see acts that defy humanity. You're going to see a disregard for life, duty of care that we're all sworn to, and a level of physical interaction that is above and beyond what is required in law enforcement.
Okay. It's up to you to decide if and when you see the video, if that's what you saw. Here's one more. This is actually the mother of Tyre Nichols, Rovon Wells on CNN, cut number 355.
Around 4 o'clock in the morning, the doctors called from St. Francis and said, Mrs. Wells, do you know your son's in the hospital? And I said, yes. I was advised by the police officers. He said, why aren't you here? And I said, the police officer said that I couldn't come because he was under arrest. The doctor proceeded to tell me that my son had went into cardiac arrest and that his kidneys were failing. This doesn't sound consistent to somebody being tased or pepper sprayed. When my husband and I got to the hospital and I saw my son, he was already gone. They had beat him to a pulp. He had bruises all over him. His head was swollen like a watermelon. His neck was busting because of the swelling. They broke his neck. My son's nose looked like an S. They actually just beat the crap out of him. And so when I saw that, I knew my son was gone then. Even if he did live, he would have been a vegetable.
All right. Tyree Nichols' mother breaking down, understandably so, recounting how she was alerted by the hospital to come down and see him after the police allegedly told her, you can't see him. He's under arrest. All right, folks, we're going to move on. Let's hope that there's no violence tonight. We'll keep you updated if we learn anything before we go off the air. When we come back, we'll switch over to the video that was released of the attack on Nancy Pelosi's husband. I'm Steve Malzberg on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Bruce DeTorres.
World peace and economic justice.
It's over. Yeah. The idea that they have the power they used to have and that they can pick it up now with King Charles' coronation on May 6th is actually what they hope everybody will think is happening, but it isn't happening.
Your assertion and conviction and certainty about that inspires me to no end, because anyone who studies reality as you and I do and I do could fairly conclude you can't fight City Hall. These are juggernauts of enslavement, digitally and otherwise. Set us straight about our hope and potential, Liz Dear.
My feeling about what's happening now is in the basic understanding that everything has a beginning, middle, and end. So for my purposes, I have described it as the end of the imperial stage of human existence. We have been there, done that, we got through it, and now we're ready to move on. And it's what's difficult, though, is that there's a lot of the old power structures still have a lot of power to keep the illusion going that they're still in control, but they're not.
Bruce DeTorres on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
The following is made possible by Dad.
Why was the basketball court all wet? Because the players kept dribbling all over it.
The dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
Why do you have to be careful when it's raining cats and dogs? Because you might step in a poodle.
And kids that spend more time with their dads grow up to be smarter, more successful.
Can I tell you a cat joke? Just kidding.
And with any luck, funnier adults.
Why didn't the skeleton go to the dance? Because he didn't have any body to go with.
Dad jokes rule. So take a moment to make a moment and give your kid a laugh. It's as easy as going to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
That's really funny.
Democrat candidate Katie Hobbs, who ran the Arizona election, censored her political opponents, disrupted Election Day votes, and threatened counties with prosecution if they didn't declare her the winner. Katie Hobbs is a cheat and a liar. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, welcome back. Steve Malzberg with you. Let's move on to the video that came out earlier on Friday. Fox News was instrumental in putting in requests and forcing the issue to get that video of the attack on the husband of Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband, former speaker, released. And here's what we have. First of all, you recall that someone broke into Nancy Pelosi's home in San Francisco late at night while Paul Pelosi, 82 years old, I think, he was home. Nancy Pelosi was not there. There were no Capitol Police there. In fact, the cops didn't even know where they were going when they went to answer the 911 call. But here's the 911 call brought to you. A Mediaite put it up. And by the way, the 911 operator almost hangs up on Paul Pelosi. That's really why I'm playing it for you. He was very lucky that she did not. And he's trying to give her clues. He's trying to tell her who he is. Nothing registered, really. Here's cut 350.
Oh, I guess I called by mistake. What is this?
18 seconds. This is San Francisco Police. Do you need help?
Oh, well, there's a gentleman here just waiting for my wife to come back. Nancy Pelosi.
2, 23, and
he's just waiting for her to come back, because she's not going to be here for a day, so I guess we'll have to wait.
0.
Okay, do you need police, fire, or medical for anything?
8 seconds.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
0, 2, 23, and 58 seconds.
Is the Capitol Police around?
2:20.
No, this is separate.
They usually protect my wife. They're usually here at the house, protecting my wife.
No, this is San Francisco Police.
Friday, October.
I understand.
Okay, so that's the first part of it. And she's about to hang up on him, but she doesn't. Lucky for him, here's cut 351.
Okay, well.
0, 2, 24, and 18 seconds.
He thinks everything's good. I've got a problem, but he thinks everything's good.
0, 2, 20. Call us back if you change your mind.
8 seconds.
No. This gentleman just came into the house. And he wants to wait here for my wife to come home.
0, 2, 4, and 48.
Anyway, he's on the phone.
Do you know who the person is?
No, I don't know who he is. He's telling me not to do anything.
What is your address, sir?
26.
2, 25, and 0.
What is your name?
Seconds.
My name is Paul Pelosi.
All right. So there you have it. She was about to say goodbye. I mean, he's saying the Capitol Police usually guard my wife. Are they there? Is this the Capitol Police? He's waiting for my wife to come home. She's not going to be home for days. I mean, finally it dawned on her to say, oh, do you know the guy? No. I mean, this is 911. You got to be prepared that there could be somebody who really can't talk trying to tell you something. So she woke up and the cops came. And here's how it sounded. I saw the video, but this is the sound from the police, so one of the police officers' cameras. Cut 352.
This gentleman says that he thinks everything ought to, he told me to put the phone down and just do what he said.
18 seconds.
Okay.
Okay, what's the gentleman's name?
I don't know. What's that?
My name's David.
The name is David.
Okay, and who is David?
I don't know. What's that?
I'm a friend of theirs.
Yeah, he says he's a friend, but
You don't know who he is?
25 and
no, ma'am.
48 seconds.
Okay.
He's telling me I'm being very leading, so I got to stop talking to you, okay?
25 and
okay, you sure I can stay on the phone with you just to make sure everything's okay?
No, he wants me to get the hell off the phone.
0, 2, 26, and 0, 8 seconds.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
All right, sorry about that. That was obviously still the phone call, the 911 call. Now, here we are. The cops come to the door. Here they are before they knock on the door. They step back, and they're waiting. This is when the door gets opened. Here's 353.
Yeah, literally sitting there. Hi. Hey guys. How you doing?
How are you?
What's going on, man?
Everything's good.
Hi. Drop the hammer.
Nope.
Hey.
What is going on right now?
I'm not getting an answer. I'm calling.
Bro. Oh, shit.
Okay. I think that's pretty much the cut. What happened was, and by the way, we originally had been told that the police opened the door. No. Paul Pelosi answered the door, but he did not run back to the perpetrator voluntarily. The perpetrator was hanging on to him, or had him in his possession, kind of attached to him somehow. And then immediately, that's how quick it happened. He had the hammer in his hand
And you heard the officer just seconds after he opened the door said, what's going on here? Put the hammer down. The guy said, nope. And then he raised the hammer and he hit him in the head. So it happened very quickly, very quickly. And they weren't both in their underwear. This was not a homosexual love fest, as some conspiracy theorists laid out. Okay. And we saw the video. I saw the video. You could see the video somewhere of the guy breaking into the house. He broke in from a side or back door, really, really pounding on it with like an axe or the hammer or something. So this was not a friendly, you know, rendezvous. And Paul Pelosi handled himself very well right up until the moment that he was struck on the head viciously and violently with that hammer. Now, what I do want to play for you, and this is kind of interesting. Do you recall the NBC News correspondent who went against the accepted story that, again, that the cops opened the door? Do you recall what I'm talking about? NBC, guy named Miguel Almaguer, back on November 4th, he did a story on NBC, the morning show, and NBC took that down. He took that down and suspended the reporter, apparently, for filing that report. I want you to hear the portion of that report, and then we'll talk about it. Here's cut 356.
Sources familiar with what unfolded in the Pelosi residence now revealing when officers responded to the high-priority call, they were seemingly unaware they'd been called to the home of the Speaker of the House. After a knock and announce, the front door was opened by Mr. Pelosi. The 82-year-old did not immediately declare an emergency or try to leave his home, but instead began walking several feet back into the foyer toward the assailant and away from police. It's unclear if the 82-year-old was already injured or what his mental state was, say sources. According to court documents, when the officer asked what was going on, defendant smiled and said everything's good. But instantaneously, a struggle ensued as police clearly saw David DePap strike Paul Pelosi in the head with a hammer. After tackling the suspect, officers rushed to Mr. Pelosi, who was lying in a pool of blood.
There's very little there that's inaccurate. It went against the story that the cops opened the door. Okay, that was the main thing, and they didn't like that he was saying, you know, Pelosi didn't leave. He opened the door. He didn't try to leave. But what was left out, because he was going by sources, was that, like I said, it appeared that they were, you know, connected to each other. And the guy was already holding the hammer, and he opened the door. Maybe he took a half a step backwards because he was connected or attached to the perpetrator. But everything in that story you just heard is for the most part accurate. And they suspended this guy. I don't even know if he's back yet. And they pulled down the report. They wiped it off their social media. It doesn't exist. All because this story differed from the official reports we were getting, and this reporter's sources, for the most part, were correct. So I think NBC still owes us a big explanation, and they owe this reporter a big apology, a big bonus, and his job back if he doesn't have it. I honestly lost track. I don't know if he's back or if he is not back. All right, so there you have the two cases. The two videos, the two sets of videos released on a Friday, and it was quite an eventful day. All right, we will come back, and we have some other things to talk about, some other things to let you hear. I'm Steve Malzberg on TNT Radio.
With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea. Don't miss the forest for the trees. The real story today isn't whether Alec Baldwin's Spanish wife, Elaria, is actually from Spain. Of course she isn't. She's Hillary Lynn Hardway Thomas from Weston, Massachusetts. She's as American as Alec is. And the real story of the day isn't whether Damar Hamlin was really at the Bills game. It was probably a body double. Maybe it wasn't. Who knows? Who cares? The real story of the day isn't even that Mike Pence rushed to Joe Biden's rescue in the document scandal by conveniently finding some classified documents in his own house. Funny that he didn't rush to President Trump's defense, finding documents in his own house. No, the real story of the day is the absolute clown world that we're told to believe in, that anybody with half an ounce of common sense knows is completely false. But that's the Democrat Party today. Up is down, left is right, and right is wrong. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
It's not a Snapchat seat, a trying to find the sunnies in your handbag seat, or a hi babe, text to your girlfriend seat. It's not a brekkie on the run so you could sleep in seat, or a seat for making awesome videos of yourself.
Where are your earrings today? Do you like them?
It's a driver's seat. If there's someone or something that needs your attention and it can't wait, pull over first, because no one's driving if you're distracted. A message from the Government of South Australia.
Don't forget and don't forgive. Punish those who hurt people with COVID madness. Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
All right, folks, welcome back. Steve Malzberg here. Of course, after tonight, we will reconvene on Monday. My Monday, 9 p.m. Eastern time on the East Coast of the United States. And you know what day and time it is wherever you're listening. So tell your friends, tell your enemies, spread the word about the show and keep listening. And I appreciate it. OK, so Newsbusters put out a montage. You know, Adam Schiff was kicked off the Intelligence Committee. He was the chairman of the Intelligence Committee in the House under Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats. And Adam Schiff does not belong on the Intelligence Committee. Neither does Eric Swalwell, but we've talked about him. We may touch on him again. But I want you to listen. To a montage of the media defending Adam Schiff, This particular montage is actually Adam Schiff lying. Okay. This montage is, I'm glad I saw that first, is Adam Schiff lying over the years about Russian collusion with Trump. Just lying as chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. Here's 342.
Kevin McCarthy officially cut two Democrats from the House Intelligence Committee, Congressman Eric Swalwell and Adam Schiff.
We suspect the real reason Republicans are going after Mr. Schiff is that he has been so effective.
In a contentious exchange with reporters Tuesday night, McCarthy said it was a matter of national security, falsely accusing Schiff of lies about Donald Trump.
Falsely. Falsely, says Andrea Mitchell of MSNBC, who misleads very often. Falsely accused Schiff of lying. Really? Falsely? Now we'll hear from Schiff. Here is 343.
The reality is that there is ample evidence of collusion in plain sight.
Adam Schiff, the top Democrat, saying there is significant evidence of collusion.
There's ample evidence of collusion of the campaign, and it's very much in the public record.
Adam Schiff said that there was damning evidence of collusion, and he said it was worse than Watergate.
I could certainly say with confidence that there is significant evidence of collusion between the campaign and Russia.
So you have seen direct evidence of collusion?
I don't want to go into specifics, but I will say that there is evidence that is not circumstantial. I can't go into the particulars, but there is more than circumstantial evidence.
I've certainly said that there's ample evidence of collusion. I've never used the word treason.
And here, that was 2019. Now, here he is talking about the Steele dossier, the discredited Steele dossier. Here is cut 344.
There's an effort to discredit Christopher Steele rather than looking into how many of the allegations he wrote about were true. Maybe they can discredit Mr. Steele, although he's held in very high regard within the intelligence community. But what's to be gained about that? It doesn't undercut the fact that Russia hacked our election institutions.
Donald Trump was really the one who enabled this Russian operation to be so successful.
I think it's corrupt and evidence of collusion.
Congressman Schiff, I do want to start with you because, in a way, I feel like you, in Kevin McCarthy's mind, committed the greater crime, which was presiding over the impeachment of Donald Trump. And I can't find any legitimate reason why you would not want to be on this committee other than that. Can you?
That's Joy Reid on MSNBC. You know, whenever I said MSNBC, when I did my previous show on Eat the Press, I would always precede it by saying that dump known as MSNBC. I don't know why I stopped doing that. I should bring it back is what I think I should do. I should bring it back. All right. So she has no idea why Adam Schiff. You just heard his own words, words that Joy Reid has heard, words that all in the media have heard, but they can't figure out why he shouldn't sit on the Intelligence Committee. It is a mystery, isn't it? What a big, big mystery. Can't imagine why he wouldn't be on that committee. I mean, just think about it. How many times do I need to say that you absolutely can't make it up? Now, you can't make this up either. Senate Judiciary Committee. Biden, they have hearings for a lot of Biden's radical left-wing judicial nominees going on in the Senate. And on the Judiciary Committee, John Kennedy, Republican senator from the great state of Louisiana, asks Charnel Belkingrun. She's up for a federal judgeship in Washington state. He asks her this or these two questions, which, if you ask me, someone who's sitting there at their nomination hearing for a judgeship should know the answer to. Here's cut 349.
Judge, on the far end, tell me what Article 5 of the Constitution does.
Article 5 is not coming to mind at the moment.
Okay. How about Article 2?
Neither is Article 2.
You believe this garbage? Do you believe it? I mean, this is like when they interviewed some guy in charge of the environment and was supposed to be the expert on recycling plastic and all that. And at a committee hearing, they asked him, I played this bite for you maybe, you know, in the summer of last year or whatever. And they asked him, how much plastic does the U.S. put into the ocean or whatever? I really don't know the answer to that. Now, he wasn't up for a position. He was already in. But do you see how unqualified these people are? She doesn't know the various articles of the Constitution? Did she study? Did she brush up? Did she look at notes? Maybe she should have wrote it on the palm of her hand. It's got to be better than what she said. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And folks, they're going after Ron DeSantis. They're going to keep going after Ron DeSantis. They will not stop going after Ron DeSantis. This is from CBS this morning. It's it's just insane. Here's cut 340.
Let's talk about what's happening in Florida. Civil rights attorney Ben Crump is threatening to sue the state of Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis. Here's the reason. Last week's Florida's Education Department rejected a proposed advanced placement high school course on African American studies. That is a college prep class. The department listed, quote, concerns about the curriculum, including topics covering intersectionality and activism and black queer studies. Florida's Stop Woke Law approved last last year, restricts how racism and other aspects of history can be taught in schools. Crump, joined by students and activists yesterday, accuses DeSantis of violating the federal and state constitutions. Listen.
What this really is about is saying you cannot exterminate us. You cannot exterminate our culture, and you can never exterminate the value of our children to this world.
Boy, that Ben Crump gets around, huh? That's the same Ben Crump who's representing the Nichols family, the Tyre Nichols family that you heard from earlier, accusing the whole world of being racist, systemic, culturally, you name it. So now he's in Florida looking to sue DeSantis. It's unbelievable. And that was CBS's Vladimir Duthiers. I'm not even sure how to pronounce his last name. Now you have Gayle King with Tony DeCapitz talking about this, 341.
I think it's important to point out it's an elective class.
It's an elective.
You don't have to.
It hasn't even been approved.
Yes.
There's a pilot program.
They're older kids as well. We're not talking about little kids.
That's a good point. Yeah.
You can understand the politics of it. I think Ron DeSantis is happy to have a fight with Ben Crump. I think he thinks that helps him with his base, having covered DeSantis and covered this woke act stuff they're doing down there. But this is kind of a nanny state vibe, like the government stepping in saying you can't put this in your mind. Mm-hmm. For older kids, we'll see how it plays with his supporters.
Yeah, it's all political for DeSantis. He doesn't mean it. Yeah, we will see how it plays with his supporters. It's going to play wonderfully for his supporters because they're all like-minded when it comes to this. It's common sense. What does queer studies have to do with Black history? And I know I've heard the reasoning already from the radical left. Oh, you mean there are no queer Blacks? No, that's insane. What? That's still apples and oranges. Of course there are queer Blacks. What does it have to do with African-American history? There's all kinds of things in there, reparations, the police. It's a brainwash class, apparently. All right, let's move on from that. Let's get to NBC's Kristen Welker at the, I think it was Wednesday's here, White House press briefing with Karine Jean-Pierre, courtesy of Mediaite. And here is the question and the answer, cut 348.
The president had said he was going to talk to us about this soon. He did make brief comments last week, but does he have any plans to answer the questions that we've been posing to him, to perhaps hold a press conference so that we can
understand
a range of questions?
Totally understand the question. I don't have anything to preview right at this time on any opportunities for the president to address this. But as you all know, and I know questions were shouted earlier, there's many opportunities that you all have with him where he takes all of your questions, and he has over the past 2 weeks.
Answered questions.
No, I understand.
We've been shouting.
No, he's answered actually when he was in California. He took a question. When he was in Mexico City, he was asked it. He took a question the day after that.
Twice.
No, but the day after that, he took a question. So I'm just saying that it's not that he hasn't addressed this at all. He has. I just don't have anything to preview on a potential press conference or anything like that, and an opportunity that you all will have to hear from him directly. But again, he has been asked a question a couple of times and he's answered it. And you all have heard from him on that.
Yeah, sure. He's been asked the question. He's read from a note, says he takes it seriously. And that's it. Boy, this is a comedy show. It really is. I'm going to end on this note, folks. Seven people were shot and killed. Three others were wounded in a terror shooting attack at a synagogue in Jerusalem. The Palestinian terrorist arrived by car at 8:13 p.m. at the synagogue in East Jerusalem's in the East Jerusalem neighborhood, opened fire at people outside the synagogue and others who were passing by. He's believed to have waited outside the synagogue until Shabbat prayers ended. Then he opened fire on worshipers as they walked outside. He fled the scene by car. And several hundred meters away, about 5 minutes later, he encountered officers who were called to the scene and they killed him. Police said the terrorist, a resident of East Jerusalem, was shot dead after he exited the car and opened fire while trying to escape on foot. And of course, no condemnation from the Palestinian Authority or the Palestinian government, because they will call him a martyr and reward his family. that's what Israel's up against. That mindset, that sick, twisted, demented mindset. Have a good weekend, everybody. Steve Malzberg on TNT Radio.